Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Sponsored by the Downtown Lincoln Foundation. Here is your host, Derek Pearson.
Tuesday boom for you here from one-on-one on 93.7 The Ticket. Thanks for joining us today on this beautiful day here in Lincoln, America. I am Jake Balkovin in the studio here with Nebraska men's tennis coach Peter Kobelt. DP will be joining us here in just a few minutes. He is on his way. So going to be a great show today. 2 hours of one-on-one with DP today. And at least for the first hour, we got Peter in here. Peter, you're going to be too busy. We'll keep you for 2 hours.
I don't think I can do two.
Oh, can't do two. Okay, well, then we better get the information out in one.
Let's do it.
All right, fair enough. It is interesting, of course. I want to go ahead and give you the floor to break down what's coming up this week. And you're explaining to me that it's going to be a big one for Nebraska men's tennis.
Yeah, we got a big weekend. We're in our Big Ten season now. So this weekend we got Illinois at home. Illinois is number 9 in the country, so a top 10 matchup here at the Sid and Hazel Dillon Tennis Center on Friday night at 6 o'clock. And then Sunday we turn around. We got another top 45 team in Northwestern coming to town too. Both teams are excellent. Both teams have made huge improvements from last year to this year. And just like every other sport, the Big Ten's absolutely nails. So we're going to need a big crowd. We're going to need a lot of support. So we're counting on all you guys to come out. As always, it's free parking, free admissions. If you want some snacks or a cold beverage of your choice, those are also available for purchase at the concession stand on Friday night. Oh. So,
yeah, going to be a top 10 matchup or a top 10 team coming in. So could be a big, big. Hopefully Nebraska can get the win. Would be a huge momentum changer for the program here as we move forward. It's kind of interesting because as I kind of start to learn a little bit more about the game of tennis and here at the college level, I was talking to Herman yesterday about the, on the women's side, about some of the stuff that goes on a little bit off the court. And he was explaining to me, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it because it was the most fascinating thing in the world to me, the idea of stacking and protesting and how this happens. I had no idea that this was the case. For those that didn't listen the other day, what am I talking about when I say stacking and protesting?
Yeah, so you have to submit a lineup later today, actually, for us. That's why we can't do 2 hours. There's a lot of work still to do. On Tuesdays, you have to submit your lineup to the Big Ten commissioner for tennis, and the teams vote. Basically, the teams all see the lineups that are submitted, and they have until tomorrow at noon to protest any of the lineups. And if you don't protest the lineups, then that's the lineup that has to be submitted for the match on Friday. On Sunday, you're allowed to move your players around one spot, but it kind of just eliminates any funny business going into some of these matches and allows you kind of just to focus on what you need to do. And, going into that first match, at least kind of who's going to be playing, who allows you to prepare, honestly, a little bit better. Because most of the time you don't know until about an hour before the match who's playing what. So for me, I think it's a good thing. It allows you to prepare for not just the University of Illinois or Northwestern, but it allows you to prepare for a specific person. Because everyone's looking to move guys around based on how they're doing or matchups or things like this. So that's kind of how it works with tennis.
Yeah. And then, I'm just fascinated because it gets, it kind of gets into the deeper conversations of how often does protesting happen. I was talking with Herman about it. He said, at least for the women's side, it's anonymous if somebody does protest, or can be. And he voted that it would not be. Is it similar for the men's side?
I didn't know it was anonymous on the women's side. No, it's absolutely not anonymous on the men's side. We had one last week and Wisconsin challenged Michigan State and it got overruled. So we actually had a protest and it went through. So I don't know. It's not super, super common, but if there's something that's egregious or something that doesn't look right, the coaches aren't afraid to protest. So that's kind of how it works.
Yeah. It completely fascinating to me. And then, of course, from there, you kind of get into the discussion of, okay, if the protest, a protest does kind of take place, all that sort of stuff. What are the feelings going around? And it's competitive. Everybody's just trying to obviously get their best lineups out there and try to win. But how close is the men's tennis coaching community? Do you guys have like a Big Ten group group chat, or is it not like that?
We do have a Big Ten group chat. It's not there's not much texting going on.
Oh, okay.
Especially this time of the year.
Yeah.
More for some bigger issues in terms of just college tennis and how we want the Big Ten to look and things like that. But yeah, I mean, everyone's trying to win. You know, the margins are tiny. Everyone kind of tries to keep their cards close to their chest. We're very careful who we call and talk to, who we trust, and who we share information with. But because it's an information game, just like it is for everyone else. But you're just trying to position your guys the best you can, and sometimes you're able to do a better job of it than other weeks. And you know, at the end of the day, it's up to us to get them prepared for our team to play their best and compete their best. And however the match goes is how the match goes, and we just got to keep improving as a team and as a program, and that's kind of goal number one.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting stuff. Again, a little bit of off the court type of stuff there. Want to get onto the court, of course, as well. This past weekend, a trip to Michigan State and Michigan, dropped those games, but of course, there can be positives through that as well. What was kind of your breakdown from this past week in the trips to East Lansing and Ann Arbor?
Yeah, 100%. I thought the match against Michigan State, I thought they came out and they played really well. I felt like they were the better team that day. Pretty clearly, but come on, DP, let's go. There we go. And then I thought we figured a few things out though that match, and we went in to the Michigan match. They have one of our players that against Michigan State beat a top 11 player in the country.
Wow.
Nico took down the number 11 player in the country, which was a huge win for him. And then on Sunday, I thought we actually, I told the guys after the match, I was like, hey, if that's the team that's going to come out and play every single match the rest of the year, I'll go to war with you guys every single day. So I was really proud of how the guys did on Sunday, even though we lost. Michigan's arguably got the best player in college tennis playing number one for them. And our guy, Leo, took him to three sets. I think he might have been, not feeling his best, the guy from Michigan. But if you're going to go out there and play, then the expectation is you're good enough to play. And we played them tight, and it was really close. Everything on the road is tough. You know, in tennis, it's not like basketball where the floor is the same, the ball is the same. You know, you get a few shots and you're kind of acclimated. Tennis, you got to get used to the altitude, the ball, skidding on the court, the surface. It takes time to find your rhythm and your range. So you got to practice and try and get as acclimated as you possibly can. And it's tough to do. So it comes down to, a team that's plays there 200 days a year and you're playing there your second day really. And you got to go beat a team. It's not easy, but I took a lot of confidence from this week, and I honestly feel way better going into our next match than I felt after any other match we've played this year. I told the guys that too, and I said we need to bottle this up and take it with us the rest of the year, because I think we're starting to figure out who we are and figure out some doubles teams, figure out what we need to do in singles. I think we're actually growing more now than we have prior to any of the other matches earlier on in the year.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and bring in a DP here. As DP, we're talking about, of course, this past weekend against Michigan State and Michigan, kind of recapping what went on there ahead of a big weekend at the Sid and Hazel Dillon Center this upcoming weekend with Illinois and Northwestern.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real, tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
It's been coming to town.
So for me, and tracking it while on the road, it's always interesting. I still want to somehow get my hands inside the Husker athletic department to give some additional juice to how they cover you guys. But because, I mean, getting the video of it changes the way the perception of it.
Sure.
And I think making it more fan friendly and follower friendly to be able to get the information, get the data, to know who the young people are, know who they're playing, the profiles that kind of be done, the matchups that you send out that don't reach everybody, right? Because if you know that you're facing the number one player in the country, the attention grows.
Absolutely.
Right. So yep. Is there a way in your mind to get that information, not only the profiles of your players, and we also have to do better at profiling your players, but to get those stories out there for people, the more emotionally invested they become, the more they emotionally support.
Yeah, I think there's a way to do it better. I don't know if there's a perfect way. I think it's a little bit like in another sport, we'll go with football, where you have projected starters and then, you know, they roll out there and they have a new guy at left tackle or right, or you hear murmurs about it. Like, you know, no one's calling my phone asking how we looking physically this week.
Well, I know not to do that, even though I want to
nobody's coming to practice and saying like, ooh, it doesn't look like Nico's doing so well this week. I don't think he's going to play. Like,
wouldn't tell us if it were true.
Well, absolutely. I don't think that's what the football staff is doing either, but
true.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's ways to say like, look, this has kind of been Nebraska tennis's top six the last couple matches. If this is the projected lineup, and if we look at the projected lineup from Illinois, the last five matches, this is kind of these.
When did you know what the lineup is going to be?
Well, I was just telling Bach for the Big Ten season, we have to submit our lineups on Tuesdays. So today we have to have it in by 7 p.m. tonight. And then we have until tomorrow at noon to protest the lineup if we want to. So we'll have the official lineups of our matchups Wednesday afternoon, at least in singles.
And then how do you announce it to the team?
Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we work on these things without them knowing. If we feel like some of the guys do better when they know the matchup, sometimes when they have too long to think about it, it gets in their head a little bit.
Okay.
It just kind of depends on each player on our team and how they handle information. Some of them want a lot of information. Some of them don't want any. They just want to go play. And so there's that. And then also there's still a chance for the team that you're playing to pull a player. So say someone gets sick and they pull their number one player. Now everyone on the team's playing against somebody new. So you prepare to play against one guy. And then, the sheet gets ripped out from underneath the table and all the silverware is on the ground and you got to put it all back on there real quick. So you try and do your best to prepare the guys the best you can. And then tennis is a game where you have to be very adaptable and you're going to have to guard or play against a guy that can do a couple different things. You're trying to prepare for one player maybe. And then in the back of your head, there's a 10 or 20% chance that something can happen and you got to be ready to play somebody else.
And you're not in the regular business of pulling players, illness, sickness. Usually that last minute deal is emergency only, kind of only, you know, if fire break glass.
Yeah, there's times where, you know, we have an idea and we want, you know, we think this could work out better than that. And then throughout the week, you see things at practice, you see how the guys are doing. Sometimes, yeah, like they'll get sick and you're like, or they'll, you know, the trainer will come up and say, hey, like he's struggling a little bit with this or that. And then you go into the match and you're like, okay, like if you know, sometimes if you lose the doubles point, if you win the doubles point, you make a change or you don't make a change in singles based on that. And you're trying to find 4 points at the end of the day. It's, you know, there's 7 points available and you're trying to find the math to get to 4 the best you can. So sometimes that means just playing your lineup the way it is. And sometimes you might pull a guy out of the lineup to slide another guy down. We're fortunate to have 9 guys that I think that can really play for us. So we have options. And I think when you have options, you have to always consider all your options or else you're not doing your team its due diligence. So for me, that's kind of what coaching is for tennis. I would love if tennis, made some changes. If we were allowed to call timeouts, we're not allowed to call a timeout. We're not allowed to make a substitution. I think that'd be absolutely electric and dynamic for tennis, but it's hard because whatever, you know, we have to decide on our lineup today and we don't know what the guys are going to be like on Friday. And you can't really change. You can't really make any changes. So you have to do your best and try and put out the best lineup that you think is going to suit your team the best on Friday. And you kind of got to make the most out of it.
Yeah. I just spent the weekend with the wrestlers and there's a bit of the gladiator thing that happens that you're out there. You're out there. It's you one-on-one against somebody. Coaches can yell, scream, whisper. In the end, you've got to have conversations with yourself to get you through it. You're out there by yourself. I do like the idea of like a one-time substitution.
I think it'd be great.
You know, just
bring in a reliever to serve for the match. I don't know if someone's something happens and someone gets hurt.
Who would be against that?
I don't know.
Like the players wouldn't seem to mind, right? Because that's just how it works. Coaches would love the strategy behind it.
I think the players, if I were a player and I wasn't in the top 6, I still feel like, okay, like I got to be ready. There's a chance, you know, I could go in and
you could set a minimum number of games and a maximum number of games that they could.
I don't know. Yeah. I think there's a whole lot of wrinkles to it. You know, you might have to decide after the first set, something like that, or something along those lines. But it gives your guys a chance to say, okay, like I can still get in this match. I got to be ready. And as a coach, you're like, okay, if something goes wrong, I have a card I can still pull and make a change if I need to.
Yeah,
so that's kind of what coaching on at least game day is. I think there's a lot of different variables of coaching, but on game day, as a coach, your hands are kind of tied in terms of moving guys around and finding matchups and other sports. That's really what it's all about. You know, football, you're literally doing that every single play. In basketball, I would assume is very much the same. Trying to find matchups, expose matchups, get guys on different guys, you know, find holes, do this and do that. In tennis, it's like, hey, you got to go one-on-one against this guy and figure it out within the point. So it's just different. But I think being able to have some more variables inside the game would make it more fun.
Yeah, I think the fans, given that opportunity and knowing that you had a big server sitting over there for when you need 2 out of 3 games to close a set out.
Yeah, like a baseball reliever.
Yeah.
You know? I would assume it's a lot like a starting pitcher, and then you have your relieving pitchers that come in and have specialized roles. I think it could open up a whole new can of worms for tennis. In my opinion,
that would be pretty cool. Bach, let's go to break. I need to reset. I got caught by the time change bandit at home. I got in last night and my wife's clock was right. My clock next to my bed, next to my, on my nightstand was an hour behind. And I walk out into the kitchen and went, oh no, it's an hour ahead. I thought I had an extra hour. Failure. I've 35 plus years, I've never been late for a show. Today's the first. I am going through some stuff mentally. Like I'm fighting the fight that I've never been late. Today's the first. So, Bach, let me get some coffee in me and set up my computer one-on-one. Peter Crowbelt, Bach, we'll be right back.
Download our app by searching 93.7 The Ticket in your app store. You're listening to One-on-One with DP on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.